Are you glad in your God's house today? Amen. All right, I'm glad you are too. And I appreciate the opportunity of being here this morning. I've got an hour to preach and I ain't got an hour message. I don't know what I'm going to do. But anyway, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. And I want to share a couple of little funny things with you so we can, you know, get used to things again. It's been a while since I've been here, but I sure do appreciate the opportunity this morning. I hate that Brother Don is not able, but I appreciate the opportunity. This is for your funny bone, and I may have read this the last time. I don't know. I may have. A man appeared before St. Peter at the pearly gates, and let me say to you, St. Peter ain't going to be inviting you in. Turn it up.
A little louder. Speak a little louder.
Huh?
Speak a little louder.
I don't know how to turn it up louder.
Right.
I'll just stand in front of this if I can. Okay. Does that sound better?
Yeah, okay.
All right. A man appeared before St. Peter at the pearly gates. Have you ever done anything of particular merit? St. Peter asked. Well, I think of one thing the man offered. Once on a trip to the Black Hills out in South Dakota, I came upon a gang of high-minded bikers who were threatening a young woman. I directed them to teach her, to leave her alone, but they wouldn't listen. So I approached the largest and the most heavily tattooed biker and smacked him on the head. Kicked his bike over, ripped out his nose ring, and threw it on the ground. And I yelled, "Now back off, biker boy, or you'll answer to me." St. Peter was really impressed about this. He said, "When did this happen?" "A couple of minutes ago." Amen. A kindergarten teacher was walking around observing the classroom of children while they were drawing pictures. As she got to one girl who was working diligently, she asked what the drawing was. The girl replied, "I'm drawing God." The teacher paused and said, "But no one knows what God looks like." Without looking up from her drawing, the girl replied, "They will in a minute." One more, okay. Oh, you hearing me all right? Okay. At Sunday school, the children were learning how God created everything, including human beings. Johnny was especially intent when the teacher told him how Eve was created from one of Adam's ribs. Later in the week, his mother noticed him lying down and though as he was ill and said, "Johnny, what's the matter?" Johnny responded, "I have pain in my side. I think I'm going to be a wife." Or have a wife, it is. All right. All right. Got a few smiles. How many of you are glad you're here today?
Amen.
Amen. Raise your hand in. Wave it a little bit. All right. Okay. If you have your Bible, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. And I told Brother Bill a while ago I was going to preach a simple message. And to me, none of them are simple because I feel that they're all important. Anything that's said about the Lord is important. And he's got a lot of things that should be said about him that's important that's really never said about him. People sometimes don't talk about the Lord like they ought to. They say that they're Christians. They say that they love the Lord. But when you love somebody, don't you want to talk about them? Not in the wrong way, but don't you want to talk about them and love them and just be with them as much as you can? Don't you do that? Sure you do. So let's love the Lord and enjoy being a Christian. The best life that we can have is a Christian life. In fact, it's the best place that it takes you to, and that is heaven. So, my dear friend, today, let's live like we ought to. And I'm not going to preach on that this morning, but I just want to say that. And so many people today that say that they're Christians, you don't know it by the way they look. Of course, their looks don't mean everything. I know that. But if you're saved, you've got something to be happy about. And why aren't we happy all the time? I know we have our burdens in times in our life, and I know we have things that come that we just really can't take too much, but you know what? God's still there with us. He loves us. He cares for us. Or does he not? It's like Sister Shelby there. She's going through a lot right now with Brother Donnie. I know that. But you know God's still with him, and he's still with you. He's with you all the way. He doesn't leave us. He doesn't forsake us, the Bible says. Now, let's read our scripture. The elders, in verse 1, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that should be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but to being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you to be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Father, we thank you today for the privilege and the opportunity to speak your word once more. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in here this morning. Thank you for these that are here, and we pray, Heavenly Father, that you bless them in a special way this morning. Lord, preach through me, Lord. That's the only way I can preach is through you. I can get up here sometimes and just seemingly don't get anything accomplished, but Lord, I know your word accomplishes everything. If we're just listening, if we'll just study God's word and know what it says. And so therefore, Lord, help us today. As we stand behind this holy pulpit today, we feel like just taking our shoes off and preach in our socks. Because you say in your word, take off your shoes, for on this ground is holy ground. And Lord, thank you for everything you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I was thinking about this morning, I was looking for some books for a song that I wanted to try to just get a little more of it than I'm planning on doing in just a minute. But I looked at this scripture this morning, and in verse 6 and verse 7 just stuck in my heart. It just thrilled my heart to know that I have a Savior that cares for me. But you know, I realize today that no one ever cared for me like Jesus. That old song, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. Thank God that we have one anyway who cares for us. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. Amen. That's all I can remember right now. But anyway, John chapter 15, verse 13. I'm going to be using a lot of scriptures this morning, so you don't have to look at them. As I tell you, I promise you today that I'm reading them from God's word. I promise you today that I'm not reading them out of a catalog or something like that. I'm reading them from God's Word, and if you don't feel like you can keep up with me, then that's okay. But if you want to, you try to keep up with me, and I'd be glad for you to, but I'm not asking you to. But the Bible tells us here, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And then in John 15, verse 13, the Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Can you imagine someone that would lay down for his friends? I don't know of anybody around here that would lay down his life for his friend. Do you? I tell you, it would be hard to do. But thank God, Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross for every one of us and every one of our sins. He took our sins upon the cross there, and he took them with him down off the cross. He bore our sins, in other words. He's still bearing our sins today. All we have to do is come to him, and he'll forgive us of our sin. I praise the Lord that we have somebody like that today. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. Now, I want to share with you some things that Jesus Christ done for me, and he's still doing them for me, and he'll do it for me in the future. Praise the Lord for that. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. Now you remember that. Don't forget that. If you forget anything else I say, don't forget that. Because he does go with us even unto the end of the way. Now, first of all, I want to say to you that he died for me. And if it hadn't been anybody else but me, he would have died for me. Praise the Lord for that. That's a great friend, isn't it? Greater love hath no man than he that lay down his life for his friend. But then we find in this scripture here, in this Romans chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible said, but God commended his love toward us, But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is Palm Sunday, isn't it? Next Sunday we'll be celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you today that he died for our sins, first of all. And then, not only did he die for our sin, he arose the third day. And not only that, he's coming back after us one day. Praise the Lord for that. I know that you know all of this, what I'm saying. You've heard it many times before, probably, but you haven't heard it from me as far as I know. If you have, then just say, all right, I'll listen to him again, okay? But God gave his only begotten son for me. Jesus Christ died for me, in other words. And he, as I said a while ago, had it not been anybody else, he loved me enough to die for me. But I'm glad that he loved you too. That he died for your sins. Amen? All right, not only that. But the second thing is, not only did he die for me, but he saved me. Amen. On May the 8th, 1958, at 54 Baptist Church, not the one now, but the old one that's done fell down. But I took her one day, we was riding around. Took her there, and I took a picture of the old church of me standing in front of it. That was a blessing to me to go back to the place where God saved me. I could carry you exactly to the same place where I bowed my knees and cried out to the Lord Jesus Christ to save me. There was a man that was my uncle by marriage. He was sitting right behind me. And when I got up, he got up. He went down to the altar with me and showed me how to be saved. But I tell you that another thing about it, God convicted me of my sin, and that finger that the preacher was pointing was going around everybody and pointing right at me seemingly. I was convicted of being lost without Christ. And I'm sure you know when you got saved, I'm sure. You may not be able to tell me the dates. You may not be able to tell me the time. But you know when you got saved. Amen. All right, let's go on. He saved me. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And Luke chapter 19, verse 10 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save those that were lost. What you going to do with those? You read God's word, you know God's word, and they sin there. What are we going to do with them? We pray for other people when we get saved, don't we? And we should be witnessing to other people when we get saved. And I trust and pray that all of us are saved here today. This may not be much of a message for you, but it is for me. And if it is for me, it should be for you. Because you can say the same thing if you've been saved. Amen. All right, let's go on a little bit farther. And if I sin, he forgives me. That's three. He forgives me. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all A-L-L, unrighteousness. He didn't say he's cleansed from part of it, half of it, fourth of it. No, he said he's cleansed from all, did he not? All unrighteousness. Praise the Lord for that. I can do something that's wrong. I can ask the Lord to forgive me, and he'll forgive me. He hears and answers prayer when we pray to him. If our heart's right, and even if it's not right, he'll hear and answer your prayer. He may not do it right then, but you get your right heart right with the Lord, and then he will. He may not answer it like we want to sometimes, our prayers. But he will answer. He may not do it at the time that you ask. But it's always on his time anyway, isn't it? Everything's on his time, not ours. Now, flesh is speaking. We have some things maybe it's on our time. And I don't believe it's on our time then, because God leads, guides, and directs in our life. He died for me. He saved me. He forgives me. And praise the Lord, not only that. The Bible says in Psalms 37, verse 25, I have been young and now I'm old, yet have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. In other words, what I'm saying here, he supplies my need. My wife sometimes gets a little upset about me. I think about worrying about God supplying my need. But I'm here to tell you, he always comes through. Always. He supplies my need. And the Bible says in Philippians 4:19, but by God shall supply all your needs of what? According to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Then in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, it says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over. Men, shall men give unto your bosom? For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Isn't it wonderful to know that God does that? Jesus Christ does that. He supplies our every need. And praise the Lord for that. But then you think about it, number five is this. All through our present time, he supplies our every need, don't he? What does our life consist of? It consists of what? Past, the present, and the future. So, he forgives us of our past. If he saved us, if you're saved, now he's supplying our every need in that present time. Now, here comes our future. He prepared me a home. The building that I'm living in is not my own. He's just letting me live there. Praise God, he does. Well, he's gone to prepare me a home. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Where is it? In heaven. Where are we? We're in heaven, so to speak. We sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, don't we? How do we do that? Thinking about our heavenly home. Our minds, I know we have things that we have to do in this life. But our minds should have that spiritual aspect that we look forward to the future. You say it ain't much future in this world. You're right. This old world's done turned upside down, so to speak. Shooting, every time you look at TV news, somebody shot somebody, somebody killed somebody, or you had a wreck and got killed, and different things are happening in these last days. They are last days. And let me stop and tell you today, Jesus Christ will split the eastern sky anytime. He could even do it before I get through preaching here. Well, let me ask you this, as we go along, if I left, lost my gravitation, and left, would you be going with me? I'm sure most of you would, if not all of you. I hope all of you will. But you know, I thought about it a long time ago. When you preach, tell them about Jesus, and when you tell them about Jesus, tell them how to be saved too. Whether they're lost or not, it may be somebody sitting out there in that congregation that's not saved. And you missed an opportunity if you don't. And God showed me that, and I'm always trying to tell you about Jesus. I preached on Jesus at Riverview a few weeks ago. And I got up and I said, let's talk about Jesus. That's the first words I said, I think. And one lady came to me after that. She said, you just blessed my soul when you said that. I said, I thought I didn't say nothing. I didn't want her to feel it. But I said, it wasn't me. It was God. Amen. But I just love to talk about Jesus. And I love to try to do what I can for him. And I know I'm not doing too much right now. But I'm trying to visit some people that are sick. Yes, they need our prayers too. Some real old ones. And I say real old ones, 90 years old is old to me. I might be hurting Shelby's feelings, but I'm sorry. No, I'm just kidding. I've just got to have somebody to pick on once in a while. Amen. But anyway, we preached about that. She told me that. And that just thrilled my heart. That it might have helped somebody. Well, I think it helped that lady because she tells me just about every service now, I want to talk about Jesus. I want to talk about Jesus. And we have people to go on to be with the Lord. We have one, night before last. We had a gentleman 90 years old went on to be with the Lord. We've had two or three of this in the last few weeks. They went on to be with the Lord. And God got ready for them. He's going to get ready for us one day, and we're going home. And he prepared me a home. The Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And I'm going to use that too in just a few minutes. But there it is in verse 1 and verse 2. Let not your heart be troubled. If you're saved, don't let your heart be troubled. And he said, if you believe in God, believe also in me. In other words, what I'm trying to say, tell you that it is this. Trust in the Lord in everything and every day. One day at a time, trust in the Lord. He might come today, he might come tomorrow, he might come the next day, and it may be 20 more years. I don't know. Even the angels in heaven don't even know. And they're close to him. But look, he prepared us a home. We're saved. We're not going to keep his place long. What you going to do with it? I'll leave it behind for some of these people to live behind to take it over. I don't want anybody to be left behind, but there is going to be some. Not only them. And number six is this. He's coming for me. I got into that just a little bit. John 14:3, when I quoted some of that scripture. But let me go back to verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I think I will. No. You hope I do. Yes, but that ain't what it says. I will. That's a very positive word, isn't it? I will come and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Oh, what a promise. Oh, what a Savior that's promising us that. You know, I feel like I can run around this church two or three times right now. And sometimes I can't even walk around it. Mall one time without my legs hurting. But it sure does feel good to me in here this morning. When I get to talking about Jesus, smile at me one time. Come on. He's coming for me. And here's a good thing, too. We sung a song just a few minutes ago, and I got to thinking about that second verse, I believe it is. I got a loving mother. It's talking about a mother being there, and I wasn't going to shake or do anything until I shook her hand. I don't know that. I think that song was a little bit off, a little bit. Because the Bible tells us we're going to meet him first. We're going to listen to him for a little while, in other words. Maybe 1,000 years. Because God's time ain't our time. Amen. He might talk to us 1,000 years, and if he brings back our past that long, whew, it's going to be terrible, ain't it? But after we pass there, after we pass there,
Get it in your mind here this morning. Get it in your heart. After we passed there, when he said, enter in thy good and faithful servant and the joys of this land. Now, if it wasn't joy in that land, why would he have said that? He said joys were in that land, did he not?
Well, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And he made it possible for a family reunion. But that family reunion not going to be until we get through the pearly gates. That's my vision of it anyway. I may be totally wrong myself, but I don't think I am. I told somebody the other day, and I can't remember exactly how I had it, but I said at last of it, you can be wrong. You can be wrong. You may not know what I'm saying, but I can't think about what it first said, but anyway. That'd come to me going down the road or something there down here, probably. You don't have those times, I know. No, nobody does but me. But when you get to my age, you're going to have it, okay? If you ain't got it now, when you get there, you'll have it. Amen. He made it possible for a family reunion. You've been to a family reunion. How many of you have been to a family reunion? Just Mama. Oh, okay, I thought you did. Probably all of you have and just don't want to raise your hand. That's okay. As long as you enjoyed being at the family reunion, that's all right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the last part of it, it says, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That song that we sing, what's the name of it? And the dead shall rise first, and those that remain shall be caught up together in the clouds. That's in the chorus. I always try, and I make a mess of myself. I usually like to put an extra word in there that's not in the song book. But it says the dead shall rise first. No. Right here says dead in Christ shall rise first. I may be picky, but I pick the right things. I try to anyway. But that's what it says. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. My friends, we have got a family reunion to go to. Already got my invitation. I accepted the invitation. But I don't know when it's going to be. It's sad, ain't it? No, not really, because I'm going. Amen. I'm going. Now, how many have loved ones in heaven? We'll see them again if we're saved and we saved. We'll see them again. We're going to have a family reunion. You've never had a reunion like this reunion is going to be. Heaven's going to be worth it all. Yeah, we complain sometimes because we ain't got this or that and the other. Sometimes I want to wear some certain suit and can't find it. Don't have it. That's the reason I can't find it. Well, I'll tell you this. But you know,
There's a lot of things we might complain about, and we shouldn't at all. If we just trust Jesus and keep our minds set on Him, we wouldn't worry about anything else. And I'm a bad worrier. I'm the one to say something about it. Okay, so I'll say something. I shouldn't worry either. But we have flesh and body that we have to live with. We do worry, don't we? Is anybody here don't worry? Well, the Bible says, the song says, why are we weary? And the Bible says, fret not, which it means, fret, that word means weary, weary not. But, there we go, we do. But we can't worry about things. It'll get us down. Try not to. But think about heaven. We get to heaven. I was just talking about running around over there church once or twice a while ago, and I still feel like that. I know you, every one of you think I'm a nut. You know, I got a shirt at home, t-shirt. Sometimes I feel like a nut. Sometimes I don't. It's advertising. Let me tell you what it is, advertising. It's advertising Alma Joyce and Mounds. I like that shirt. But you know what? Don't worry. And I know what's going to happen when I say that. Next time I start worrying, my wife's going to remind me of what I said. I know that. And that's all right. I need someone to keep me straight. But Jesus can keep me straighter than she does. Are you ready to go? Are you looking for Jesus? Are you looking for heaven? Mm-hmm. Well, great. But if not, we ought to be. Amen. Get ready, because He's coming back. Listen, it's already been 2,000 years. And of course, as I said a while ago, I think I did anyway, one day with the Lord is 1,000 years. So, and if He waits another 1,000 years, it's one day. So He could come any day. Let's bow our heads.